Our theme for this year is God involved in the lives of men. And in previous years and previous themes, usually special days, I've tried to fit that into the theme. I really haven't done much on Memorial Day weekend regarding the theme, and I got to thinking about that this year. Memorial Day is about soldiers. Is God involved in the lives of soldiers? And a number of places in the scripture came to mind as I was thinking about that, and the Lord is directed here to this event in Joshua chapter 6 and the Battle of Jericho. And that's what we're going to talk about, and thus our songs this morning. I know we didn't sing the typical patriotic songs, but I thought, well, we're going to talk about soldiers. Let's sing about soldiers. It's a weekend. We think about soldiers. God involved in the lives of soldiers. Joshua chapter 6. Let's pray and seek the Lord's help. Heavenly Father, thank you for this privilege to open your word. Thank you for the record of all these events that took place in biblical times, and for the way you use these things to teach us such important truth that helps us to live in a way that glorifies you. We pray that this will be the effect of this lesson today, that we will learn some principle from your word that will guide our lives, that we will see your involvement in our affairs, and we will respond in a way that will bring honor and glory to your name. So we ask for your help as we study, that we may study according to the truth. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Adrenaline is a steroid produced by your body, certain glands in your body. And adrenaline is something that is programmed by God to provide a person with a rush of energy when it is needed to do extraordinary things. There are a number of incidents that have been recorded where adrenaline has allowed people to do some pretty amazing things. In 1982 in Lawrenceville, Georgia, Tony Cavaglio was repairing a 1964 Chevrolet Impala automobile from underneath, and the vehicle was propped up on jacks, but it fell. Cavaglio's mother, Mrs. Angela Cavaglio, lifted the car high enough and long enough for two neighbors to replace the jacks and pulled Tony from beneath the car. That's a pretty amazing thing, isn't it, what adrenaline can do. I was thinking about that in relationship to soldiers preparing to go into battle. Do you think there's any rush of adrenaline that comes to soldiers as they're preparing to go into battle? And that's, you know, something that God has provided in the body to provide that surge of energy and the necessary stamina to endure such situations of the intensity of a battle. But, you know, at the same time, while that rush of adrenaline is valuable to a soldier's ability to perform in high, intense situations, a soldier has to maintain discipline and restraint in every given situation, even the most intense, and obey orders. Now that's the point we're going to look at in relationship to these soldiers, these Israeli soldiers, and the Battle of Jericho. For there are certain orders, certain commands given by God and from God through Joshua to the Israeli army. And there was a purpose for him giving these commands and putting them in this particular situation. And we'll see what principle we can learn from this altogether. The Israeli army was ready to go. Israel had left Egypt 40 years previous to this event in Joshua chapter 6. They have just crossed the Jordan River. They are in the land. They are ready to take the land. They have now surrounded the city of Jericho. No one can get in or out. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. As the soldiers are waiting for the command to attack, God presented a plan of action to Joshua. In verse 2 it says, and the Lord said unto Joshua. Now, I want to make a point out of this. It appears from the record of Scripture that God interjected himself into this situation. There's no record that Joshua asked in this particular case for specific advice or information. Not that he wouldn't or didn't trust in God, but we do have records, such as with David, asking specifically, what shall I do in this situation, in this battle situation? For example, 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 8, David inquired of the Lord and said, shall I pursue this troop? And we have the record in other places of men who did ask God in military situations, what do I do now? Now, it doesn't specifically record Joshua asking, but as they are preparing for this attack of Jericho, there is this unusual appearance. It's recorded for us at the end of chapter 5, if you go to chapter 5 in verse 13. And it says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I come. So the captain of the host of the Lord shows up and shows himself to Joshua. Now the host of the Lord typically is his army of angels. And there's something very interesting that occurs here that indicates to us who this captain of the host of the Lord is. It says, and Joshua fell on his face and on the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. Now, there is only one other place in Scripture where this occurred, where someone was told to take off their shoes because the ground they were standing on was holy. Moses at the burning bush. And why was the ground holy? Because of the presence of God. And so, who is this captain of the host? None other than the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ. Wow. Jesus Christ comes to Joshua. And he says, I have a plan for you. He outlines that plan for Joshua in chapter 6, beginning in verse 2. And the Lord said, you notice how it's the captain of the host is there, and now it's the Lord. And you notice the word Lord is in all capitals, which this is Jehovah. Jesus Christ is Jehovah. And he says to Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast, make note of that, that's significant, that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. So there are some very specific things. Once each day for 6 days, they are to walk around the city of Jericho in formation, in military formation. The seventh day, they do this seven times. Now, as the days go by, the priests will be blowing their trumpets. We'll see that. Every day they will blow their trumpets, but not with a long blast. On the seventh day, after the seventh time around, they are to blow with a long blast, which is the signal for everyone to shout. And when they shout, then the walls are going to fall down. Now, there are a number of things involved that require discipline on the part of these soldiers. First of all, there's enough of time on the seventh day for the whole army to walk around the city seven times and then still have time to fight a battle and take the city. But for 6 days, they are all to walk around the city one time. That's it. Just walk around the city one time and then go back to their tents. Now, if you're a soldier and you know you have the city trapped, do you think their adrenaline is beginning to build and they're ready to go? But all they're going to do is walk around the city fully armed. Every morning they get up, they're put on their armor, they take their weapons, they walk around the city in formation, and then go back in their tents. Take some discipline. Follow orders. Well, how did things go on the first day? We have a record of that in verses 6 through 11. Joshua gave specific orders, first to the priests in verse 6. Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. So those are the orders for the priests. Then to the people in verse 7. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city and let him that is armed pass on before the ark. So all of the armed soldiers are to go first, then comes the priests with the Ark of the Covenant, and then the rear ward behind. And the rear ward, as it refers to later on, is the support segment of the army. Those are the ones that are carrying all the supplies for the army and come up behind. And there are more orders in verse 10. Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then ye shall shout. So here's the situation. City of Jericho is a walled city. Now, you know people that are trapped on the inside of the city are on top of the wall. I mean, that's what they do, right? When they are anticipating being attacked, they're going to be on top of the wall, ready to take the brunt of that attack. So, you know there are people on top of the wall, and they're watching the Israeli army, who are camped outside of the range of any weapons, and now make formation to walk around the city. The army is fully armed. The priests are robed. They're carrying the Ark of the Covenant. There are seven priests that have trumpets. As they're marching, they're blowing short blasts. But the entire Israeli army, other than those short blasts from the trumpets, are absolutely silent. They're not talking to each other. They're not making a sound, because Joshua says, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Now, do you think the people up on the wall are saying anything? Can you picture the scene? The Israeli army in formation, walking around the city. The people of Jericho on top of the wall, they're looking down there. Are they saying anything? Are they making any noises? Are they shouting at the Israeli army, trying to figure out what's going on here. The Israeli army is supposed to, in such a disciplined fashion, follow these orders. You make your formation, you walk around the city, and you don't make a sound. You are perfectly silent. How'd it go? Verse 8. And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew the trumpets. See, they're blowing the trumpets as they go, but only short blasts, because it's the long blast on the seventh day that is the signal. They blew the trumpets. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rear ward, those that brought the supplies, came after the Ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. Verse 11, so the Ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And it appears that they were perfectly disciplined. They made their formation. They went around the city. They didn't make a sound other than the short blast from the trumpets. And they went back to their tents. Do you think any of those Israeli soldiers were just kind of anxious to respond to the people on the wall? They can't talk to me like that. I'm in the army of God. Think any of them had any temptation just to thrust a spear or something at the wall just as a reaction? You can't have that in a disciplined army, can you? Everyone has to obey orders, follow commands, and be perfectly disciplined. The first day it went well. Then in verse 12 it says, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. This is on the second day, and the seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the rear ward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So did they 6 days, and every day it worked perfectly. They got up, put on their armor, picked up their weapons, made their formation, marched around the city. The priests blew short blasts with the trumpets. Not one soldier made one sound, spoke one word, made any noise with his mouth. It was perfect every day. And then the seventh day came. In verse 15, it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time when the priests blew the trumpets. This is the one, remember, verses 2-5. This is the long blast. And it came to pass at the 7th time when the priest blew the trumpets. Joshua said unto the people, now there's some more orders. Last minute, new commands. Shout, he says, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise shall keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take it of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel curse and a trouble, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. The accursed thing is this. All of the silver, gold, brass, and iron go to the Lord. It's consecrated to the Lord, and you're not allowed to touch that. Everything else gets destroyed. You don't get to keep anything as soldiers this time around. Everything of value goes to the Lord, and you can't keep any of it for yourself. And so, verse 22, the people shouted with the priests when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat with all the people standing on it, that took care of a good part of the army. Because obviously people are on, they're ready for the Israeli army to attack. They're up on the wall with all of their, I don't know if they had barrels of hot oil or whatever they had back in those days, you know. They're ready to fight. And the walls fall down and all of the people on the walls fell down with them. That took care of a good part of the army. And so the wall fell down flat so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. They did exactly as they were told. It tells us in verse 24 that they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver, the gold, and the vessels of brass and iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord, and they did exactly what they were commanded to do. Except for one man. One man disobeyed. Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. You notice one man disobeyed. And you notice how it characterizes it? The children of Israel committed a trespass. One man's disobedience to the commands of the Lord affected the whole nation. Everybody seemed to do everything perfectly. They didn't speak a word. They made no noise. They marched in file perfectly, day after day after day. In the battle, they did everything they were commanded to do, but one person messed up. And as a result, in verses 2 through 5 of chapter 7, we are told about how in the next battle against Ai was just a little place. After having this tremendous victory against this big walled city of Jericho, which was a bigger place than Ai, and the Israelites thought, oh, look what we did to Jericho. Ai, we don't need very many. We can handle this easily. They lost because one man disobeyed the commands. Why did God come to Joshua? The Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, he came to Joshua and gave Joshua this plan. This is what you do. Why did Christ do that? Why did he give them this plan of discipline? I mean, couldn't he have made the walls, just make the walls fall down and tell them to attack? I mean, why take them through the process of day after day for 6 days, just walk around the city one time, then make sure that while you're walking, nobody makes a sound. What is that all about? Why did God have that plan? It was to show the people the importance of following orders and obeying his commandments. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You see, God intended to use the discipline of a soldier as a metaphor for the Christian life. And all that he did with the Israeli army at Jericho was obviously for those people. It's a real event. But also for us as an illustration of this principle of discipline that is required in the Christian life. He says in verse 4 here, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We don't entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life, meaning that we exercise discipline as a soldier so that we obey commands, we obey orders, we do exactly what we are supposed to do. We stay in line, we march in file, we keep our mouths shut when we are told to keep our mouths shut, we are quiet when we're told to be quiet, we speak when we are told to speak, we shout when we're told to shout, we fight when we're told to fight, we obey the commandments of the one who is the captain of our lives. It's the discipline of a soldier that he uses as a metaphor for the Christian life. This is the way that we are to live our lives as his soldiers. And this one doesn't make reference to the soldier, but I couldn't help but think that this goes exactly along with it. Would you go to 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. First John chapter 2, verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we do what? Keep his commandments. First John chapter 3 and verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we do what? Keep his commandments. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and do what? Keep his commandments. And verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Do you hear the lesson? Keep his commandments. Keep his commandments. What was he asking of the Israeli army in Joshua chapter 6? Keep my commandments. Here's the plan. Here are the commands for you in this situation. It requires absolute obedience to my commands. And he's simply asking the same of us. God wants a disciplined army. Soldiers must be disciplined to fulfill their assignments successfully. God purposely uses this metaphor to teach us that if we expect to please him and fulfill his will in our lives, we must learn to follow orders and obey his commands. David said in Psalm 119, verse 115, depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. That needs to be our resolve as the soldiers of Jesus Christ. I think we have a certain expectation of the military personnel of the United States of America. Those of you that have served know how important it is to follow orders, right? When you're given a command, you do what you're told. You don't say, well, why don't we do it this way? How does that work in the military? Not too well, I think. Your officer tells you, you do this, and you do this. And the benefit of that is in situations of great intensity, when you have a disciplined army that knows how to follow orders, the battle plan can be followed explicitly and victory can be won. Jesus Christ is looking for soldiers who know how to hear his voice, to believe what he says, to follow his commands, to obey his orders. Will we be disciplined soldiers in the army of Jesus Christ? He has given us a book full of commandments. There's no question as to what he expects. The only thing that is required is a resolve in our hearts that we will obey whatever he commands. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reminder of something that ought to be obvious. Obedience is a valuable commodity in an army. You have used this metaphor for us, soldiers of Jesus Christ, you said. Help us to take on that frame of mind, that resolve of heart, to be disciplined soldiers of Jesus Christ, to have ears attuned to his voice so that when we hear his command with willingness, with passion, with determination, we obey explicitly and please him who has chosen us to be his soldier. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.